Straighters on Hereford Avenue, their soccer, volleyball and swimming headquarters on our island.
And it's Scott Simmons, and we're back with the Radio Real Estate Show. I'm here with Alex Danny. And that was a loud bit of reverberation in the studio here. I thought the space shuttle was taking off from on top of the radio station.
Yeah, they've moved it from Cape Canaveral to Salt Spring, the new launch pad, right?
And they've put it on top of the radio station. Yeah. If I hit the wrong button, kaboom, it launches.
Actually, all the...
I think it was a Polaris missile, actually.
All the chairs are linked to ejector seats, right? And if Scott presses the wrong button, well...
the whole place blows up.
The sky's the limit, right? The roof opens up and...
Now, Alex made a valid point there. Alex, you know, when the commercial breaks, Alex always says, okay, what are we going to do? And he starts yakking away, and it's like, yeah, I know. Save that point. Save it. So Alex made a valid point there about the, if you did build or you had bought a house and you're going to retire 4 or 5 years down the road and the house sits empty, well, this is yours.
And if you look at your insurance clause, there's a fine print in there that says the house cannot be unoccupied. I believe it is for maximum 30 days. Now, each insurance company is possibly different. Minimum, I believe, somebody has to check on it every few days or every week.
It's crazy.
You know, so if it's not rented, so here you have a scale that may or may not be balanced or unbalanced, right? You've got, if you're buying the place and you want to retire there in 4 or 5 years and you have tenants in there, okay, they're paying your mortgage and maybe part of the mortgage or maybe not. But you still have to cover the insurance and the taxes and all that jazz.
Well, and then let's look at a house, for instance. Okay, what part of the real estate proposition actually evaluates in price and what part devaluates?
Mm-hmm. The land is the only part that actually increases in value and the home actually decreases in value over time.
Over time. Houses, and that's why... Mm-hmm. I think that generally speaking, you could say on any house on the West Coast has a life of about 30 years. And from the time, you know, it's built to within 30 years, it's depreciated down to zero. Right. Now, there's still a structure left. And as long as you've maintained the roof and the foundations are good, in 30 years, you can take that house and you can go in, gut it, rebuild it, modernize it, and have it back and up, you know, have it back up, you know, into modern standards. But it takes, I mean, you look at a 30-year-old house, it's totally dated, everything, the bathrooms, the layout.
Color schemes,
the
flooring.
Kitchens, the flooring.
Faucets.
The insulation, the wiring, I mean.
And that's an unfortunate, maybe, philosophy in North America and or in the modern world.
But look at a car. I mean, you know, you know, let's say.
Not too many 77 Honda Civics around or Toyota Corollas from the 70s. Like
1976 Cordoba with genuine leather seats, Corinthian leather seats.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, you don't see, I mean, they just didn't, they don't last.
Yeah.
Like, there's hardly anyone driving their 1976 Cordoba around Salt
Spring. No.
I mean, it would be this massive boat that, you know, had terrible steering.
And you know, driving across the country, you see a lot of big old Ford Thunderbirds from the 70s, with the 500 cubic inch motor.
Oops.
Out in the fields there. But Scott's on the phone, and we got some serious... Okay. So the show goes on. So talking about simplicity, talking about design, you know, for a retirement investment, I definitely would design a house and build a house that's, you know, that meets your needs in the current times and in the future. So what do you need in the future? Well, you need one level and you need easy access. So I would build something slightly bigger than you might think you need, but not too much bigger, so you can have a 4-foot wide hallway instead of a 3-foot wide hallway. These are basic things that you need to plan in for future living. One of my houses, we have 5-foot wide hallways. It's a slightly larger square footage, and to compensate for the square footage, for the slightly larger square footage, we have 5-foot wide hallways or 4.5-foot wide hallways, I'm talking about future,
right.
Living in the house in the future and living in the house currently. And I find a 3-foot wide hallway really constrictive.
Too narrow.
4-foot wide is almost perfect. But when you're in a house and you're in a 5-foot wide hallway, yes, you've burned off a lot of square footage. But wow,
they're really
you can
nice.
Really maneuver, especially for getting older and. Getting into your bedroom and not having 30-inch doors on bedrooms.
Yeah.
You know, 32 minimum. So yeah.
See, and that's how houses date. It's all those little things added up. And that's why, really, the shelf life of a house is about 30 years, in my opinion.
Or the life of the mortgage, they say, right?
Yeah.
That's another way
and
they
then,
say it.
You know, and the problem is, you can look at it, it's a lot like a computer. You know, a computer really lasts about 2 or 3 years. But, you know, if you buy a big desktop over the, you know, you can make it last longer by upgrading it.
Yeah, definitely.
And it's the same thing with a house. If all of a sudden you take that 30 years and as you go along you're upgrading it, then it'll last longer. You extend the life expectancy of the house. And that's where condos actually are not a bad deal because with a condo complex, you know, you're paying that monthly fee and everybody complains, $220 a month. But the condo corporation's doing all the maintenance, upgrading the house, putting on the new roofs, fixing all the things that have to be fixed. Mm-hmm. And see, if you just buy a house and you don't do anything for 30 years, I'll guarantee you there will be nothing left after 30 years.
It degrades. I'm just dealing with a situation here where... you know, nothing had been done for about 4 years. It doesn't sound like a long period of time. Nothing had been done for 4 years.
Right.
I'm talking about basic things like cleaning out the grill, the grease filters in the overhead hood fan.
Oh, really?
That never ever been cleaned out. Ugh. Right. So, like, why are the windows all greasy?
That can be
enough. Why are the counters? You know.
That can be an ugly job.
Yeah, so it just stems from there, right? Okay.
I used to manage a contract that had all the grease traps and all the hood fans.
Oh.
At CFB Halifax.
Was that a slimy job?
It was a contract. It was a huge contract to clean all those. It was like a $250,000 contract that I used to manage every year.
Wow. Yeah.
And it's massive. And then, you know, to get the contractors in to clean them and to clean the grease traps, it's a nightmare. And, I mean, it's a huge job to take all those things apart, get up in there, and if you don't clean them every year.
It's like anything maintenance. If you don't change the oil on car more than once a year.
Oh, yeah.
It's like brushing your teeth. If you don't brush your teeth or floss and you go to the dentist once every 5 years or 10 years, they're just going to look at you and go, okay.
We're going to have to pull them all.
What have you been doing or what have you not been doing? Yeah. Right. So
maintenance, and that's why
applies to anything.
See, that's why in house you have to look at budgeting, you know, a couple $100 a month. Like when people say to me, oh, the condo fees are high, I'm thinking about buying a house because I don't want to pay those high condo fees. It's like, are you kidding? You're going to have to, with a house, put more money per month into a fund to pay for your maintenance. And I would recommend $300 to $400 a month every month.
Boat ownership would be the same thing.
Because you have to save up the money because if you don't, you're going to get hit all at once. Your hot water tank's going to go, then the roof's going to go, then this going to, you know, and if you don't have, your dishwasher's going to go.
Or what I do is I just build a new house, live in it for a couple of years. A few years, sell it, and start building another one before the next thing needs replacing.
Yeah.
But it's unbelievable. Like I was just ripping apart a deck that was actually only 13 years old, and so building a new house, and you know, taking a quote out of Mike Holmes's contractor book, doing it right the first time.
Do it right the first time.
So, for example, the roof on your studio, you know, standing seam metal roof, and you know, you spend a little more money up front, like on a standing seam roof, and you're done. You don't have to.
I didn't put in the standing seam roof. Oh. I wish I had.
Okay, it's a steel roof with the
screws. They weren't as popular. I built that probably about 8 years ago. They just weren't as popular. They were just coming on the market.
Okay.
So and now Renee Valcourt, Island Roofer here, has the extruding machine that makes the steel, like he screwed the steel on the site with the seamless steel. I mean, that
seamless is the key.
It's a beauty roof system that he has.
Yeah.
I think they do a great job.
And the great thing about that is that you haven't thrown the money away
no.
at all. you've invested it.
Well, because
your money,
you're either going to pay for the steel roof now, or put on two or three asphalt roofs over the course of the next 5 years,
plus,
or 10, 20 years.
We haven't mentioned the Enviro word for a long time, but steel roofs are recyclable.
Well, and they last.
And they last. Whereas an asphalt roof, guess where it goes?
I hate asphalt roofs.
Straight into the landfill. Now,
I mean, I just dislike asphalt roofs. I mean, I think they're.
They're non-reflective, I think, for subdivisions. It's
it's like Channel Ridge. Channel Ridge actually has in their building scheme no steel roofs. It doesn't make sense in this climate. I mean, it's bizarre, if you ask me.
You have moss on the north side, and you know, you have little pebbles running down into your gutters all the time for the life of the roof.
And they don't last. Even a 25-year roof... I'll guarantee you'll probably get about 10 years
10
out
to 15
of it,
maybe.
And it'll all start to buckle up and come apart.
And they go into the landfill, but there are machines, there are people that are grinding it all back up and remanufacturing it into roadbed.
Right.
You know, so that is a practical aspect, but you still have to get the oil. Okay, you need power or oil or energy to make steel, so... It's a catch 20.
No, the steel roofs are the way to go.
So you start from the start.
You know that 76 Cordoba? The Cordoba with the with the Corinthian leather seats. That becomes now, if you buy a steel roof, that is the old Cordoba. It's being melted down. See, that's the beauty of steel. Steel's being melted down, and that old Cordoba is now up on your roof.
That's right. It's like 20%.
And it's only taken one fender and one bumper to do your whole house.
Those Cordobas were big. And that's the beauty of steel products, is it's something like maybe it's 50% less energy to remanufacture it.
It's because, it can be reused. I mean, steel roofs make a lot of sense.
Yeah, so back to my point about this deck that was only 13 years old that I completely, I started, I'll just replace one plank. Oh, look, the plank beside it's rotten. Pretty soon I'm ripping off all the planks. Pretty soon I'm ripping off all the rails. Pretty soon there's no deck left. And I looked at it and said, It wasn't built right from the very beginning. It was there's a concrete wall that came up about 2 feet, and this deck was kind of hanging on the inside of it. So all the fencing and such was the rails were solid panels right up against the concrete, and right down to the deck. So it was a total moisture trap. And as I'm pulling it apart, I find worms and snails. And all kinds of bugs and earth. Like the wood had literally become earth.
Yeah.
You know, where it touched the concrete. And I said,
"You know,
myself,
my son and I just
13 years old.
We just started pulling apart the shed at our new house, and it's a garden shed that they built out of OSB, which is not a good idea in the first place. And it was the old OSB, which was really bad. The new OSB, I think, is a little bit better." But I don't like OSB to start with. But anyways, they had the same thing. Then they took the attic, and they had a sheet. They sheeted it all in with OSB, and then they sealed it all in with insulation, so there was absolutely no ventilation.
Right. So
the ants got in there and had just literally eaten it to pieces. There was nothing left of it. Like the boards, you could reach up and just crumble with them. The ants were living all in the insulation. Mm. And then the moisture got in because the roof had leaked in a few spots. And between the moisture and the ants, it just killed it.
And that's the problem with the short-sightedness, in a sense, on the West Coast and or in North America. Yeah. You go to Europe and you buy a house, and it's a new house if it's 60 to 100 years old. And it's solid stone, and you have the clay tile roofs. Now, a lot of the places don't have any insulation. A lot of them are double brick walls or, you know, one solid...
Well, they're mass construction houses.
Solid stone.
Totally different.
Hard to heat. Okay, but they're still standing.
Yeah.
And they're 500 years old or 100 years old. Or
yeah, but they still need major renos, too, all the way along the line because their plumbing needs to be upgraded.
It's all on the exterior and so forth. So hard to cut in a new window.
I mean, I think our wood frame houses, if they're done right, are really well. And that's where, you know, again, simple design. Mm-hmm. It's like you had mentioned bay window. You know, I built that house with a contractor up on Duke's Road, and we put in a bay window, and I couldn't believe the amount of man hours, the amount of work. It was a little 3-foot wide bay window with a little tiny bench. Mm-hmm. The amount of energy and time and resources it took to put in that little bench It was unbelievable.
Well, you have to consider everything has to bend around the bay window, so the soffit has to go around.
Oh, the roof line. We had to cantilever the joists out. Yeah. We had to insulate underneath
it. The floor joists have to support it, or unless it's built up off its own footing.
It was it was an absolute nightmare.
You could have, a $5,000 bedroom, cost of framing and drywall and insulation, but the bay window is $10,000 or something. You know, that's
the amount of man hours that it takes. I mean, yeah, exactly. I mean, for one little tiny bump out, it was just unbelievable. And, that's what drove up the price of that house. And it didn't even make it that nice, I think.
So what I've done before, instead of, framing the concrete out and doing all the joists and all that jazz, I framed in a big window opening and I just ordered a bay window.
Oh, yeah.
Right? And it's a...
You
can order them.
Yeah, I know, I know the ones.
Say 4 foot square.
Turn them out? Okay.
Four-foot square main window or five-foot square window in the center and your two side lights.
Right.
You can order it as a window that's built from the factory. And
so that makes
it might be a $2,000 window, say.
But
you've
saved
a heck of a lot of time and energy finishing around it. And you just frame in a regular window opening.
Yeah.
And pop it in, but then frame it up tight to the or near the soffit so that you can just wrap the top of the window with the minimum amount of trim and frame it in because you don't want vermin climbing in above it.
See, that makes a lot of sense to do that. Or else they even have those little tiny windows. I mean, I don't really like them because they're huge heat losses, but the little tiny bump out. What do you call them?
Greenhouse
windows.
Sure.
Yeah, they're popular in a kitchen. They're actually really cool.
Yeah, they have but they're square, right? So they have a little slope on the the top portion. And
they're easy to put in. It's the same thing. It's you're not actually altering the framing.
Correct.
And it's when you think about altering the framing, then it's like the rain screen, then it's the bump out, and then it's the insulation going in there, the vapor barrier, all those myriads of little details that are so hard to finish. Where if you just have a straight wall, you can, if you took the same amount of money and just put in windows, and if you weren't worried about the shear wall and you had two or three big windows, I mean, the same cost could go into one little bay window. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's just... Mm-hmm.
Well, what I did at my first house is I wanted that big house look in a super compact house. Our first house was only 18 by 24 with a couple little bump outs on either side, one for an entry and one for a dining area. What I actually did is I hung the window boxes off the rafters. So what I did is I just built pony walls, essentially, little 2x4 pony walls or 2x6 pony walls, and fastened them right onto the outside of the frame of the house.
Right.
And nailed it all together, just, plates and studs, and trimmed it all out and boxed it all in up top. Kept it square, though, so they're solid on the sides.
Right.
And then you can use plywood inside your window openings to actually hang the whole box unit out of the house.
Right.
Or I just nailed it onto the
Creating more space on the inside.
Yeah, and hung the upper portion off the rafters.
Right.
If you're on a gable end, you can use plywood as sheer hang. Then put in big, 5 foot square or 6 foot square windows and keep the sill down around 2 feet. And you've created this big look, this big feel, especially if you have two of them side by side.
Right.
And then instead of having a whole lot of fancy trim and such, do drywall return with a really minimal trim and maybe just a simple sill. And you've created this big feel for minimal dollars.
See, and that's what it's all about. So we're going to stop for a quick commercial break, and we'll be right back after these words from our sponsors.
Buying or selling Salt Spring Island real estate, contact Scott Simmons, Salt Spring Realtor for 1% Realty, Vancouver Island.